Hey, everybody. Welcome back to It's Only Embarrassing If You're Embarrassed podcast, a podcast focused on normalizing everyday challenges such as mental health, addiction, grief, divorce, loss, and many more. I hope this episode inspires you to be your best self and to live your dream life one day at a time. All right, everybody, please welcome Annie to It's Only Embarrassing If You're Embarrassed podcast. Annie is our special guest for this week. Hey, Annie, how are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Madison, for having me on your show.
Of course. I'm so excited you're here. Just in the brief time we chatted before this, just learning about your story, your background, how much you've overcome. I am already inspired, and so I cannot wait to just hear more about what you're doing and all the amazing work you're doing to help women. So tell us a little bit about you, your background, and kind of how you got to where you are today.
Well, I have worked in the corporate world for 30 years and ended my career as the director of finance and project management for a utility company here in Delaware. And I ended up succumbing to stress and developed mental illness. And over the next few years, I struggled to find the right combination of medications, the right doctors. I took course after course in self-help books. I read, you know, probably 700 books trying to figure out how to correct my mental illness. And I finally found a doctor and a combination and a right therapist. And I was able to stabilize to the point where I started helping other women develop self-esteem and confidence. And I've helped 87 women so far to date realign their lives and overcome setting boundaries and people-pleasing and regain self-confidence.
Oh, I love that. It's so incredible that you were able to take something that in theory could have been like your downfall and instead use what you learned there to help other women just to be successful and to grow in themselves and to kind of come into their fullest potential. I think that's amazing.
Yes. And I was to the point where they had me on so many medications that I couldn't take care of myself. And so I had a nurse come in, and now look at me, I'm blossomed and I take care of other women and help them achieve more in their lives and remain happier because of it.
I love that. And would you mind just sharing with us a little bit more? I shared with you, I can relate to the phase of life where you're trying to get on the right medication for mental health and you keep going to see different doctors, you keep getting different drugs. Like, can you maybe for the person right now that's listening that's going through that, could you maybe just share a little bit about what that journey was like for you? Just because I know there's people out there that they're in that right now. They're going through, they're on their seventh, maybe antidepressant, and that one still hasn't worked. You know, can you share a little more about that for us?
I would ask the person not to give up on the medical profession. That if the doctor gets you so doped up that you can't walk or talk or take care of yourself, find a different doctor, because there are doctors out there that truly care and can get you on the right medication so that you can remain stable. But don't accept a life not worth living.
Absolutely. I remember there was a time that I was on the wrong combination of medication and I didn't know how to describe it other than it didn't feel like it felt better, but not good. Like I felt better than without medication, but I didn't feel good. And I think that, you know, a lot of kind of going through the process of getting on medication is identifying like, does this make me feel like my best self? Or is this actually maybe causing some other effects that are not allowing the medication to work properly?
Right. You don't want to walk around dull to your senses. You want to have an affect and enjoy life and really feel like you're alive again. And that's so important.
Absolutely. I love that. What was the final, maybe kind of straw or kind of that breaking point where you said, hey, not going to do the corporate world anymore, and I'm going to kind of find my own path? Because I know there are a ton of women out there that want to do the same thing. Maybe they have been in a career profession that's not for them. They know they have another purpose, but they don't know how to get there. What was that like for you?
I did a lot of praying and a lot of soul searching. And one day I woke up and I got the bug for being a coach. And after that, I invested in a certification. I'm a heroic performance coach. And I've taken other classes in positive intelligence and NLP. And I found that was my calling. Wow. And ever since then, I've been able to help women.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And you said you've helped over 80 women. What does that look like, maybe from their perspective, from yours, all of that good stuff?
It is exciting because you see people grow and become happier and find themselves. I mean, from the heart, they find themselves and they're full of joy. And I can't describe such a beautiful sensation.
That's incredible. And can you talk to us a little bit about how it sounds like faith guided your journey a lot? Can you tell us about what that was like?
Yes, I'm a strong believer in Jesus and God. And I believe that they have a plan for you. You might not understand it when you're going through things as difficult as mental illness, but something happens and your future is guided by them. And you come out the other side a better person because of what you've lived through.
Absolutely. I love that because I think there's a lot of people that really struggle with God's plan for their life and that really struggle, like, does God even have a plan for my life, or is this it? Or I feel like there's something more, but I haven't gotten there. So I feel like that's just so relatable.
Yes. Prayer is so helpful. Mm-hmm. I do it right before I get out of bed. I pray and I thank God for my life and for what he's done for me. And then I listen, because it's important to listen, because God gives you direction whether you know it or not. Mm. And it might be something visual, or it might be just a word in your mind that tells you where to go next.
Absolutely. And I think for me personally, there's been a lot of times that I've thought God has said, here's what you're supposed to do next. And it was something that was scary or uncertain. And I was like, I don't think that was God. Nope. And so the fact that you were able to, like, know, like, God has called me to do something, and then had the courage to, you know, fully move into that calling, that purpose, I think that's incredible.
Yes, the courage was there. It was uncomfortable, but once I got involved in learning how to be a coach and having success with women, I really enjoyed it, and then it just flowed.
Absolutely. And another thing that we briefly touched on before this that I wanted to kind of delve into your mind a little bit more on was boundaries, being a recovering people pleaser, learning to take care of yourself and kind of fill your own cup. So tell us a little bit about what you've learned there.
Okay, boundaries are good because they put a space around you so that other people don't take more than you can give. Mm. And it is important to remember that People are takers, and they will keep taking from you as long as you keep saying yes. And no is a complete sentence. Mm. And you don't have to give them reasons why you said no. You can just say no. And that is important.
I love that no is a complete sentence. That's something I've always struggled with. I was the kind of person, like, if you messaged me and you're like, hey, do you want to do like insert thing I would never want to do? I would feel like I need to send like a page long excuse for like why I can't or whatever. I'd be like, yeah, my cousin's friend's hamster's funeral is that day. Like, just talk to us a little bit about like how you get the confidence to just say like, no, that's not for me. No, that doesn't fit. No, I don't want to do that. Because I think I personally would love to be a little bit better about saying no when I mean it, instead of like making excuses or saying yes and then being like, oh, I wish I hadn't said yes. How have you developed that and kind of implemented that in your life?
I think it's a gradual transition as you gain confidence. Mm-hmm. You say, you pick a boundary that you can manage, such as a man touching your elbow and you don't like that because it makes you nervous. You can say no to that. Please don't touch me. Mm-hmm. It makes me uncomfortable. And that is the start, is picking something small that you can manage and then building up to saying no. I'm not going to say anymore. I just don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm. I like that. So your advice is basically to start small, start with a boundary you know you can enforce. Then you're like, you get like a little confidence of like, okay, we did that boundary. Now we can do a little bit harder one. And then it right. kind of goes from there. Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So I think a lot of people, when they think about boundaries, they think about like the most challenging boundary they know they need to set. And they're like, oh my gosh, I'm like, you know, there's such a big gap between where they are then and, you know, getting to that boundary. So I think that's such a good lesson.
Yes. Especially when it comes to loved ones. It's really hard to say no to a loved one. Mm-hmm. And if you pick somebody that is not a relative and just a stranger, it's a lot easier to say no, or I'm uncomfortable with you doing that to me.
Absolutely. And you talked a lot about your battle with perfectionism. Can we talk a little more about that and just kind of how you went from, you know, very much perfectionist to learning to let it go a little bit?
Well, that involves journaling about the part of you that feels you have to be a perfectionist and understanding why you felt that way. Like my father forced us as kids to have our drawers of clothing in a certain format. Otherwise, he'd dump them out on the floor and we'd have to start again.
Oh, wow.
So that developed the perfectionist. And to break that, I've had to say, okay, good enough is good enough. And practice doing things to a good state and letting it go. Mm. And that was difficult, but doable in a gradual way.
Yeah, so I like that. So you were actually able to journal to the point where you're like, hey, here's the exact moment in my life, my childhood, where I can say maybe this started from or stemmed from, identify that, and then be able to kind of work from there.
Yes. Yes.
That is,
and that gets into parts work. I don't know if you're familiar with Richard Schwartz. He does parts work, internal family systems. It's Ooh. Where you have parts with inside yourself that were created or fractured off during childhood and early development that dictate how you respond to different actions. And once you understand that part, you can actually journal about that part and then repurpose that part so that they react better to that situation.
That is incredible. Can you share that just like one more time? It was so cool to hear. And I know somebody listening is like, oh my gosh, say it again.
Okay. When you're growing up, you learn to react to certain things. They create fractures or parts within you that react a certain way to certain stimulus. And in order to learn to how to redirect that part to behave better or differently, you have to understand where that part came from. And journaling about that really helps figure that out. And then you can say, oh, I recognize that part when it comes up in a situation with another person. I can stop that behavior now because I understand it.
That's incredible. I've never heard of that concept being explained that way, but it makes so much sense.
Yeah. Yeah. No Bad Parts is a book that really explains in layman's terms by Richard Schwartz about parts.
Okay. That's great. That's a great tip for anybody listening that was just like, oh, wow, I did not even realize that's something that, you know, you could do and you could uncover about yourself. Because I feel like a lot of recovering is just learning the things about yourself that you need to learn or do or, you know, get to the bottom of before you can even move on.
Right. Definitely.
So I wanted to ask you a little more about your coaching business. So if there is a woman out there that's like, okay, this is all so relatable to me. I want to know more about what does it look like to work with Annie. Talk to us about what that looks like.
Okay, I do one-on-one coaching, and I have a special going right now that is 3 sessions for the price of 1 until the end of March. And that way, if you call me or email me, I will set up a one-on-one coaching session with you. And they are 45 minutes long, and we pick out what you'd like to work on because you can have several areas that you want to work on. And it's not a straight line solution. There's iterations of creating new boundaries and finding what works for you and really developing a plan that's tailored to the person's needs. Mm-hmm. And that's what I try to work very carefully with women on.
So it sounds like everything that you're doing is really being customized for each person that you're working with or coming into contact with.
Yes. There's a general trend, but it really takes an individual plan because everyone is different and one technique might not work for every person.
I love that. I think that a lot of people that specifically are looking for coaching are looking for somebody who's going to customize that experience for them. So I think it's so incredible that that's what you're doing and that's what you're offering. And that you're running that special that people are able to, you know, get really 3 times as much, you know, knowledge and experience, you know, for the price of, you know, 1 session. That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. And I'd extend that through the end of April if they contact me.
Okay.
And they can contact me at Annie@EmpowerLifeChangesAllOneWord.com.
Awesome.
And my phone number is 302-932-1556.
And I will link all that for you guys in the show notes as well. So that way, if you're listening to this episode, maybe you're driving, I'll actually link all that so you could literally just click on it from the show notes and be able to contact her, whatever your preferred way is. Because I know there are a lot of women out there that are just struggling with all the things you were talking about today, Annie, and would probably just love that, you know, just personalized one-on-one attention and really planning that you were talking about as well.
Yes, thank you. I plan on helping many more women.
Oh, I'm so glad. Well, anything else that you wanted to share or any tips that you wanted to leave for us?
No, not at this time.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Annie. This was so fun. I appreciate you so much. And like I said, everybody, everything for Annie's information will be linked in the show notes. So feel free to reach out to her if her coaching sounded like something that would benefit you.
Thank you.
Of course. Thank you. And I'll talk to you later.
Yes. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of It's Only Embarrassing If You're Embarrassed podcast. I'm your host, Madison. If you want to get tuned into more episodes, you can click the follow button in the top right-hand side of your phone screen. This will actually notify you when new episodes are published. If you love this episode, please leave a 5-star rating and review. It really helps with the show. And last but not least, if you thought of someone during this episode that you were like, I really need my mom, my bestie, my sister to hear this episode, please share with a friend. And as always, happy healing, babes.